This is Pastor Emery. There are three radio broadcasts reproduced on this tape. The first one will include the announcer's introduction at the beginning and his close at the end, just as you would hear it on the radio. Then, to save your time, the announcer will be left off the last two. During the broadcast, you will hear me offer free monthly literature, and I will state the month. Please do not write for that literature packet as such. You may be hearing these tapes months, even years, after the original broadcast was made. Thank you. In the 24th chapter of Matthew, Jesus prophesied a terrible time of tribulation to come upon the earth before his return. Many Christians believe we are at or near that time of trouble, and we can see that there does exist among men both the will and the means to bring great destruction and tribulation upon the earth. Jesus said in verse 21 of Matthew 24 that tribulation would be such as was not since the beginning of the world. In verse 22, he indicated there would have to be a shortening of the time, or else no flesh would be saved. To put it another way, it would be so bad that unless God Almighty cut short the length of the tribulation, all life would be destroyed upon the earth. In verse 37, Jesus said, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Genesis 6 tells us the time of Noah was a time of great immorality and wickedness among men. Genesis 6:5 reads, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." The margin rendering says that could read, "The purposes and desires of his heart were only evil every day." Most modern church-going people, because of their continual association with good people, with people who do not desire wickedness, usually cannot grasp how evil the wicked of the earth really are. Because they themselves would not deliberately murder even one person, let alone hundreds or thousands, they just cannot believe there are people who actually plot, plan for, and desire the deaths of millions of people. Our daily news brings us the stories of assaults, robberies, rapes, poisonings, murders, and hatred of one human for another, so we cannot deny its existence. And on an international scale, it is well known that the red communist gangsters have not only killed, murdered, much more than 100 million living souls in the last 75 years, but that they continue murdering to this day and have greater slaughters planned. Every week brings news that the Reds are building more and bigger missiles, nuclear bombs, or experimenting on poison gases, or providing weapons for another war or revolution, and these plans can have only one purpose: war in the future, so terrible and so devastating that a large percentage of the Earth's people could be killed in a matter of hours or days whenever the Reds decide the time is right. So the world is not good, it is not becoming good, it is evil and wicked, and seems destined for greater brutality and murder than the earth has witnessed in past centuries. Jesus' words in Matthew 24 are witness that he was God, and knew over 1900 years ago that these things would come to pass. This is Pastor Emring. If you will get your Bibles, you can follow with me in God's holy word to see what God has to say about the wicked, and God's warning to the righteous as to the evil desires of wicked and reprobate men. Words of warning, which believers are to heed for their own protection and the protection of their loved ones. Turn first with me to the book of Proverbs, the writings of Solomon. And the first verses tell us these are given so that we may know wisdom and instruction. They are to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. And verse 5, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning," meaning Those who are intelligent will read these writings of Solomon and will become wiser and more learned. Verse 7 is the first phrase of the wisdom itself, and it reads, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge," or as the margin says, "The fear of the Lord is the principal part of knowledge." Two more verses comment on that, and then the very first instruction that follows is this, verse 10. "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." So here, wise King Solomon, said to be the wisest man who ever lived, begins his long book of wisdom with a warning to his readers that sinners would attempt to entice them, and they should turn away. This principle of the enticement or the ways of the wicked is little understood by Christians. This truth that wicked men desire to lead others into wickedness, into sin or violation of God's commands, is not understood by most churchgoers. Most of our churchgoers think of sin as something one person might do, but they simply do not realize that the haters of God desire to bring the whole world into sin, into disobedience to God. Neither do many understand that the wicked hate the righteous. Jesus understood this in chapter 24 of Matthew, where we have just read his warning of a great time of tribulation and wickedness. The disciples had asked him in verse 3, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Before Jesus answered as to the signs, the very first words he spoke were very much akin to Solomon. Jesus said, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." What was the most important thing Jesus could answer to the Christian disciples who wanted to know the signs of the end of the age? Beware of deceivers. What was the most important thing Solomon could say to Christians who wanted to know wisdom and truth? Beware of sinners who attempt to entice you to sin. Neither called out to the believer for good works, neither spoke out for faith, neither exhorted them to witness to others. No, they first issued a strong and forceful warning, beware of evil and wicked men who will attempt to turn you from your God. Today, Christians seem almost helpless before the onslaught of the wicked. At least part of their helplessness is that the church issues no warning. In fact, the modern church seems instead to warn Christians that they must tolerate evil and wicked men, that they must love everyone, no matter what dark sinners, corruptors, and destroyers they might be. And they add, "Aren't we all brothers, and aren't we all of one Father?" Jesus and Solomon taught no such nonsense, nor did the disciples who followed Jesus. Jesus followed this warning about deceivers with a further prophecy of the hatred which would be manifested against Christians in our own time. Verse 9 of Matthew 24, "Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." They will kill you Christians because they will hate Jesus. In the very first chapter of the very first epistle in the New Testament, Paul writes of the wicked, verse 29 through 32, "being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Read that last verse over again. Not only do they know their own sin and wickedness is evil in the sight of God, they enjoy it and they take pleasure in other people committing the same sin and wickedness. Do you suppose our tolerance of evil men is because we have not been taught the truth of the Bible about them? I think that at least is partially true. Peter speaks of the wicked in 2 Peter 2 by reminding his readers of the flood of Noah's time as necessary to destroy the world of the ungodly. Verse 5, and then verse 6, of God overthrowing Sodom and Gomorrah because of their wickedness, and he goes on to indicate the same kind of people existed in his day. Verse 12 and 13 of 2 Peter 2. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Here is that principle again, that the wicked try to deceive the Christian. In verse 18 he says, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. The wicked and natural brute beasts of Hollywood and New York do not make pornographic films and publish pornographic magazines just for money. No, they make them and distribute them to entice and corrupt others into their own bondage of filthiness. James says they promise them liberty. It is not coincidence that immorality and sexual perversion is called liberation and freedom by the Antichrist and the wicked God-haters who are corrupting Christian America. James said 1900 years ago that they would use those terms while debasing Christian society. Does your minister tell you the time of wickedness and tribulation and evil works by the Antichrist is yet to come in the future? John wrote in 1 John 2:18, 1900 years ago, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. In chapter 3, verse 13, he says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. In chapter 5 and verse 19, he says, the whole world lieth in wickedness. Why do ministers spend so much time trying to convince churchgoers that the age of wickedness and evil is off in the future? The plain teaching of the Word of God is that many antichrists are here now. They have been here for centuries. And their determined purpose is to deceive, entice, corrupt, and kill those who believe in Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Isn't it strange that the church today utters little warning of the present danger? Is it possible churchgoers are the objects of a deception designed to lull them to sleep and to keep them blinded to the present danger by teaching some far-off future woe as if that is all that exists? The Epistle of Jude is only one chapter long. It is just before the book of Revelation, and two-thirds of that short letter is a warning of how the wicked God-haters would try to corrupt and destroy Christians. The last book in the New Testament, the book of Revelation, is a series of visions and of things that, according to Revelation 1 verse 1, quote, must shortly come to pass, meaning they would be fulfilled in this Christian era. The whole thrust of the book of Revelation is a series of sorrows and woes to come upon the earth, of wickedness abounding, and culminating in the destruction of a thing called in Revelation 17 and verse 5, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of earth. What was her condition when John saw her in vision? Verse 6 of Revelation 17, And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. This is a vision of the Antichrist power, drunken with the blood of murdered Christians. But today most ministers try to convince Christians that this mystery Babylon has nothing to do with them, that just represents an Antichrist who will come after the Christians have left the earth. But pray tell me, how will the scarlet whore of Revelation 17 get drunk on the blood of saints and on the blood of the martyrs of Jesus if there won't be any Christians for her to kill? The answer is obvious. The scarlet whore of Revelation 17 represents something which already exists. The murder and death of 100 million or more of God's people in the last century, in planned famines, planned wars, unchecked disease and deliberate murder, testifies that the scarlet whore rules the earth today. What do you think, my dear Christian friends? Was Solomon and Jesus and the Christian disciples all in error when they warned of rampaging wicked men called beasts who would deceive and destroy and kill Christians? Is this all imagination, or has it already begun to happen? The last century has seen the consolidation by the Antichrist and the haters of Christians into a world force now ruling much of the people of the earth, a world force which has killed upwards of 100 million Christians in the last 60 years. The Religious News Service reported a recent talk of a minister in Minneapolis, Minnesota, who has sources of information in Europe and Asia, and he said that in the last two decades, more than 1 million Christians were killed by the Reds in China, that all known Christians were killed by the Reds in North Korea, and every known Christian in Cambodia has been killed. He did not mention Vietnam, but we have information from other sources that the communists there slaughtered every South Vietnamese who had any association with Catholic or Protestant orphanages or ministers. They even went into the orphanages and killed every baby born of an American father and a Vietnamese mother, bayoneting or shooting them right in front of the nuns and nurses who took care of them. One pilot, who flew over the beach off Da Nang shortly after the communists overran it, estimated there were 30,000 civilian bodies in a two-mile stretch of sand. Not soldiers, but civilians, men, women, and children, taken out of that city and slaughtered along the beach. Kissinger calls that peace with honor. Now in Africa, the rulers of the United States and the rulers of Russia have joined forces to overthrow the white governments of Rhodesia and South Africa and move in the Reds, as was done recently in Angola and Mozambique. As soon as the Reds take control, they starve, torture, or just plain shoot every person with any Christian leanings or connections. We must assume that such murders are approved by the men in high positions in the United States government. Jesus' words now make sense. Even those who are unchurched must begin to see how they correlate with current history. And so the pattern continues. Reds in every nation agitate for social change, civil rights, special rights for minorities, and anything and everything to disrupt the existing social order. Then as the nation falls to chaos and disorder, they seize absolute power and proceed to murder all Christians or persons who have Christian associations. The Bible warns of this satanic hatred against Jesus and his followers. The phrase the Bible uses most often to describe them is the wicked. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. In the first chapter, Solomon explained that this book was written so the reader would increase learning and attain unto wise counsel. In other words, It was written to make men wise. So let us partake of its wisdom in God's truth about those God calls the wicked. In Proverbs 2, starting in verse 10, I read this, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee." And here is how it will keep you. Verse 12, "To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil, and delight in the frowardness of the wicked." Notice, God says these evil persons rejoice to do evil. Putting it another way, they enjoy hurting other people. Turn to Proverbs 4. Here is a passage most of you have never heard. And listen closely, verse 14 through verse 16 of Proverbs 4. "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall." Think of that. God says in His Word here in Proverbs 4, verse 16, that there are people on this earth who are so wicked and take such delight in destroying other men that they suffer from insomnia unless they can think up some way to hurt other men before they go to sleep. Now, I know that almost sounds like a joke, but it is not. It is the solemn word of God Almighty. And some of you, dear people, had better begin to consider it, for it explains much, very much, of what you see happening to your own people in your own country. There are people in America who lay awake nights devising methods of hurting, injuring, and killing the American people. You may not like to hear that. You may hope that all men are learning to love one another. You may hope in the so-called brotherhood of man, but that hope is a vain hope. That hope is a deception. God Almighty says no such thing exists, but that the hatred and evil of certain men toward others is so intense they cannot sleep nights unless they have figured out some way to injure other men. The hatred of the Antichrist toward Christians can be explained only on those terms. Proverbs 6, verses 12 through 14. "A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually, he soweth discord." And I should explain that word froward. It is not a commonly used word today, but it is an English term used 300 years ago to describe evil persons. It comes from several Hebrew words here in the Old Testament, but if you have a strong concordance or a Trudens, you can look it up and you will find the Hebrew word means false, wicked, obstinate, or perverse. Examples of that meaning are found in Proverbs 3:32, "The froward is abomination to the Lord." Proverbs 8:13, "The froward mouth do I hate." Proverbs 11:20, "They that are of froward heart are abomination to the Lord," and several others, of course. So here in Proverbs 6, we have the froward man, or the wicked man, who deviseth mischief continually. Evil and wicked deeds are no sometime thing with these anti-God people. Their wickedness is a passion. It is their life. It is their very nature. It is their continual desire to do evil deeds which bring hurt to other people. Why do we believe lying prophets who tell us the Antichrist's war and tribulations have nothing to do with Christians, when it is the Christians who have been the victims of the Antichrist for centuries? It is the Christians and the Christian nations who are the present targets of the Antichrist's plans today. And it is the Christians they hope to eliminate with their planned diseases, famines, wars, and murders in the future. It is the height of imbecility not to realize that Red Russia, Red China, and the Red Traders in America are working to bring about the death of every Christian in the world. Marx, Lenin, Trotsky, Stalin, Mao, Castro, and others have proven by their actions their whole aim in a communist dictatorship is to wipe out Christianity. The leader of the American Communist Party once made this statement at the funeral of a fellow Red, quote, "The Christians are always singing about the blood. Let's give them their fill of it. Let's drag them over their pews and slit their throats and let them drown in their own blood. I dream of the day when the last congressman is strangled to death on the gut of the last preacher." End of quote, of a top American Communist Party member a very few years ago. It should be obvious that the hatred of the Red Communists toward America is not just because America is a nation, but because America is the last nation with power to protect Christendom. When they have subverted and destroyed America's power, then they hope to begin their orgy of murder of the world's last remaining Christians. Well, as the Bible says, they know not the thoughts of the Lord, for they are not slated for victory over Christendom, but for their own destruction. And the victory of Jesus Christ and the rule of Jesus Christ over all the world. Thank you. Last week we were reading some of the Bible passages about the people who hate Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible, and Jesus and others warned the Christians that these God-haters would also hate and try to kill and destroy Christians in the present age. Jesus gave the disciples a very long prophecy of future events in Matthew 24 and in Luke 21. Jesus said men would come and deceive the believers and would deliver them up to be afflicted or tormented and would kill them, and that believers would be hated by other people for, quote, my name's sake. That is in Matthew 24 through verse 9. And then as he continued to describe the end of this age, in verse 21 he said there would be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world. And in verse 22, that God would have to shorten those days or this age in order to save flesh alive on the earth. Even a century ago, this prediction must have seemed pretty far-fetched. But the last century has seen the consolidation by the Antichrist and the haters of Christians into a world force now ruling much of the people of the earth, a world force which has killed upwards of 100 million Christians in the last 60 years. The Religious News Service reported a recent talk of a minister in Minneapolis, Minnesota, who has sources of information in Europe and Asia, and he said that in the last 2 decades, more than 1 million Christians were killed by the Reds in China, that all known Christians were killed by the Reds in North Korea, and in the last 2 years, quote, every known Christian in Cambodia has been killed. He did not mention Vietnam, but we have information from other sources that the communists there slaughtered every South Vietnamese who had had any association with Catholic or Protestant orphanages or ministers. They even went into the orphanages and killed every baby born of an American father and a Vietnamese mother, bayoneting or shooting them right in front of the nuns and nurses who took care of them. One pilot, who flew over the beach off Da Nang shortly after the communists overran it, estimated there were 30,000 civilian bodies in a 2-mile stretch of sand. Not soldiers, but civilians, men, women, and children, taken out of that city and slaughtered along the beach. Kissinger calls that peace with honor. Now in Africa, the rulers of the United States and the rulers of Russia have joined forces to overthrow the white government of South Africa and move in the Reds, as was done in Angola and Mozambique. As soon as the Reds take control, they starve, torture, or just plain shoot every person with any Christian leanings or connections. We must assume that such murders are approved by the men in high positions in the United States government. Jesus' words now make sense. Even those who are unchurched must begin to see how they correlate with current history. And so the pattern continues. Rebs in every nation agitate for social change, civil rights, special rights for minorities, and anything and everything to disrupt the existing social order. Then as the nation falls to chaos and disorder, they seize absolute power and proceed to murder all Christians or persons who have Christian associations. The Bible warns of this satanic hatred against Jesus and his followers. The phrase the Bible uses most often to describe them is the wicked. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs again today. In the first chapter, Solomon explained that this book was written so the reader would increase learning and attain unto wise counsel. In other words, it was written to make men wise. So let us partake of its wisdom in God's truth about those God calls the wicked. In Proverbs 2, starting in verse 10, I read this, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, and here is how it will keep you." Verse 12, "To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil, and delight in the frowardness of the wicked." Notice, God says these evil persons rejoice to do evil. Putting it another way, they enjoy hurting other people. Turn to Proverbs 4. Here is a passage most of you have never heard. And listen closely, verse 14 through verse 16 of Proverbs 4. "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall." Think of that. God says in His Word here in Proverbs 4, verse 16, that there are people on this earth who are so wicked and take such delight in destroying other men that they suffer from insomnia unless they can think up some way to hurt other men before they go to sleep. Now, I know that almost sounds like a joke, but it is not. It is the solemn word of God Almighty, and some of you dear people had better begin to consider it, for it explains much, very much, of what you see happening to your own people in your own country. There are people in America who lay awake nights devising methods of hurting, injuring, and killing the American people. You may not like to hear that. You may hope that all men are learning to love one another. You may hope in the so-called brotherhood of man, but that hope is a vain hope. That hope is a deception. God Almighty says no such thing exists, but that the hatred and evil of certain men toward others is so intense they cannot sleep nights unless they have figured out some way to injure other men. The hatred of the Antichrist toward Christians can be explained only on those terms. Proverbs 6, verses 12 through 14. "A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually, he soweth discord." And I should explain that word froward. It is not a commonly used word today, but it is an English term used 300 years ago to describe evil persons. It comes from several Hebrew words here in the Old Testament, but if you have a Strong's Concordance or a Cruden's, you can look it up and you will find the Hebrew word means false, wicked, obstinate, or perverse. Examples of that meaning are found in Proverbs 3:32, "The froward is abomination to the Lord." Proverbs 8:13, "The froward mouth do I hate." Proverbs 11:20, they that are of froward heart are abomination to the Lord, and several others, of course. So here in Proverbs 6, we have the froward man, or the wicked man, who deviseth mischief continually. Evil and wicked deeds are no sometime thing with these anti-God people. Their wickedness is a passion. It is their life. It is their very nature. It is their continual desire to do evil deeds which bring hurt to other people. Now, I know this truth is not commonly taught in the churches today. It is not an easy thing to accept. It makes us feel better, much better, if we can be told that everyone is really good, that everyone really wants to do good, and that evil only happens because of some outside influence. But that doctrine is false. And in fact, that doctrine is one of the basic teachings of Marxism or communism, that man is basically good, and if we could only improve or perfect his environment, that he would only do good or perfect things. Many churches today, and some well-known evangelists, try to convince us that all people can be made to do good by preaching Jesus Christ and the Bible to them. But God's Word says no, and the death of Jesus Christ proves it can't be done. The Jewish Pharisees opposed, captured, and killed Jesus because he was teaching the Word of God. Jesus told them in John 8 that they were liars, and in verse 45, "And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." It wasn't because they hadn't heard the truth that they hated Jesus. In fact, they hated Jesus because he did preach the truth. Jesus said they would not believe and could not be converted, and that is a truth we must understand in order to understand the current fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy that the Antichrist would always, always seek to kill Christians. Turn to Psalm 58, not Proverbs now, but Psalm 58, the same word, wicked, and we read this beginning in verse 3. "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." So God says, the wicked are born that way. None of this communist propaganda or church nonsense that all men need only to be brought up in a certain way and they will be good men. God says of some people, they are born wicked. From the womb they go astray and are liars. Verse 4, "Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear, which will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely." No matter how wisely or how eloquently the word of God is preached to them, they will not hear. They will remain just exactly what they were when they were born, evil and wicked men, men who hate God and those who follow God. That explains how the Antichrist can associate with Christians and live in Christendom for generations, even centuries, and still hate Jesus Christ. They are born that way. It is in their blood, so to speak. They will not be converted. They are estranged from the womb. They deviseth mischief continually. They can't sleep at night until they figure out some way of hurting people. Proverbs 12, verse 5 and 6 say, "The counsels," or the advice, "the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood." Verse 20, "Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, or them that plan evil." If the followers of Christ understood the truth about the Antichrist, they would not be injured and killed by putting their trust in the Antichrist. God said, "The wicked devise mischief." They, the wicked, work a deceitful work. God said in Psalm 37 and verse 12, "The wicked plotteth against the just." And verse 14, "They plot to slay the upright." Verse 32, "The wicked watcheth the righteous, and seeketh to slay him. Jesus Christ warned us that this age would close with the Antichrist seeking to kill the people of Jesus, and that their plans and machinations against us would be so ingenious, so effective and successful, that God himself would have to intervene to save the elect. And by now, someone must ask, well, Pastor Emery, if these men are so wicked and so deceptive, what is to be their end if God will not save them? Let's read on in the New Testament. First, in this same chapter of 2 Timothy, Paul strikes a hopeful note, verse 9. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men. Their wickedness will be made known or revealed to the people of the earth. That, in effect, is what was said in 2 Thessalonians 2 about the man of sin, the son of perdition. For it said, that man of sin to be revealed, or known, revealed to the people of the world to see. Now, this is not part of our study right here, but I should interject something for listeners who have been taught that that man of sin in verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians 2 is the great individual Antichrist who is supposed to come and rule the world after you have gone in the rapture. You read verses 1 through 3 very closely, and you will see he is writing about the return of Christ, and he says that return of Christ will not come until after the man of sin is revealed, or until after the man of sin is made known. The man of sin will be revealed to the world first, and Christ will return later. In other words, some of us already know who or what the man of sin is, and we know the Bible makes it quite plain that the Christians will be here on the earth during the time of the man of sin.